Welcome to Bitch Talk, booze interview straight from the heart of San Francisco. We are here live at the monthly, that's what she said, women's event in the Fillmore District of San Francisco. We are doing a little basic bitching before we get into our interview with Lulu Wang back at Sundance.
A really just so such an exciting interview.
Yes. Before we go into it, please look up bitchtalkpodcast.com. You can find all our episodes there. You can find our fun little black and white pictures. You can read all about us, and you can find our socials there. And quickly, before we get into all of our stuff, because we don't have that much time, we are celebrating Women's History Month this month with all of our interviews that we did at Sundance with all the women filmmakers, actresses, producers. And also, we're going to hit on another film festival that Ange and I ran into, basically, like,
we stumbled upon
Sundance
and,
like,
fell in love with.
Yes,
by the way,
stinking of Sundance, we ran into Coven Film Festival, which was the first of its kind in San Francisco. And so we have a lot of ladies in the filmmaking industry,
amazing ladies
that'll be
crazy
all month,
fucking stories,
including we'll have our, of course, the monthly event, that's what she said, for you on Thursday. So take it away, Ange.
Shit's going down.
What do you want a basic bitch about? Because I think you have a lot.
Well,
in a short amount of time.
Okay, so I went to my friend, one of my best friends from high school, is getting married in Vegas at the end of the month. So she's like, okay, I'm getting married in Sin City. I'm going to have my bachelorette party in the happiest place on earth. So we went to Disneyland. And it just so happened to be pissing rain all day, which was a blessing in disguise because it was empty
on
a Saturday.
That's where you were this weekend?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was in LA this weekend.
So go when it's raining, is what you're
yes,
saying.
Yes, oh, go geez. When it's raining and buy the Max Fast
yeah,
Pass.
Yeah, duh. The Maxi Pass.
Well, okay, yeah, duh. Okay, fine.
Char introduced us to that months ago.
I haven't been there since then and I haven't used it myself. So there was a posse of seven of us and we're sitting at the bar and we're like, what do you want to go on next? All right, we'll be there in an hour. In the meantime, let's have three more drinks. It was incredible.
Okay.
There were zero minimal kids. The weird thing is it was kind of like the Duck Dynasty crew. I saw a lot of like camo, but not like hip camo, like that camo that like...
Not hip hop camo.
You shot a lion that was like the last of its kind, you know, like that kind of camo.
Yeah.
But anyway, other than that, here's my biggest mistake. I was wearing my Bitch Talk sweater because this is what I do. If I need a sweater, I wear my Bitch Talk sweater.
And I
don't think twice about it.
I noticed it in one of the pictures.
And I as soon as we walked in, I was like, oh shit, am I going to get in trouble? Am I going to get sent to the principal's office?
Yeah.
And next thing I know, an hour in, one of the employees, he's like grabbing at his ear and he's like, excuse me, I'm walking out of one of the bars. And he was like, I'm going to have to talk to my manager about your sweater. I don't think the cast, that will make the cast unhappy. How fucking creepy does that sound?
What cast?
This is what they call employees of Disneyland.
Oh, the
cast.
The team?
No, he said cast.
Mm.
That shit's creepy, right?
Yep.
And I was like,
they took you to Disney jail?
I want to know what Disney jail looks
yeah,
like.
Me too.
That's underground,
and so
right?
I was like, okay, I have a rain jacket, whatever. And I was talking to my friend when he interrupted.
Who,
so
Richard?
No,
Richard?
My friend Laura.
Oh.
And so he came back to me again, and I was like, dude, I'm putting on my jacket. Like, I didn't say what the fuck, but I was like, fucking calm down, dude. But the irony is, an hour before this happened, I was telling my friends that I was with, like, I'm a little worried about my sweater. Like, people are going to trip out. This dude walks by with this shirt, like, that has an AK-47, and it was like, time for AK-47 team or some shit like that. And I'm like, of course that's all good. Like, yeah, let's represent guns and AK-47s, not just
at
even
Disneyland.
Like a But my little bitch talk.
Racism. That's like us getting
sexism, racism, whatever you want to do.
Anyways.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it happened to me twice and then I just wore my rain jacket the rest of the time.
It happened twice?
Yeah. But any time that we were in pictures, I would, like, strip down and be like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Represent my
bitch
dog. Did
anyone say they liked your sweatshirt by chance?
No, because I wasn't walking in public wearing it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, fuck you, Disneyland, for that
kind
shit.
Kind of. I wish it just wasn't so fun. Then I wouldn't... then I'd be completely against
if
them.
If they didn't have the bars, then I'd be like...
Fuck it.
Fuck off.
Okay.
But, you know, the bars in between the Maxi Fast Pass...
Maxi Pass.
I'm good to go. Yeah. Yeah. So it was awesome. But
I'm totally wearing my
bitch
talk sweatshirt.
Don't wear your
bitch
shirt.
I am.
Yeah. And then just kind of like rip it open and take pictures every now and then, and then feel like
you're
like, fuck
the system. I just had young boys in our group, so I didn't want to talk about what that means. And
yeah, we need to have like an army of like 20 people or something like that walking around, so they can't stop everybody.
Well, and the thing is, if I was with kids that could read, maybe I wouldn't have worn it, but I was with my drunk friends, you know, that I've known for 25 years.
Adults.
So I didn't think twice about wearing my fucking bitch talk sweater. But anyway.
Awesome.
Whatever.
Over the weekend, I was up in Mendocino County and went to my favorite fish and chips place called Sea Pals. Everyone go there. So good. But we were going to do a taste test of fish and chips, and we were told that there was another place in the same area. It's called like the Nyo Harbor. That there's a place that it's all women owned and they're fisherwomen and all this stuff.
Excuse me.
So we went to, it's called Princess Seafood. They don't have fish and chips, which is totally fine. Best oysters, best crab crab cocktail, like rosé cans with bubbles.
What did they serve with the oysters? Was it a champagne mignonette?
Yeah, of course. And it was kind of spicy. I think there was jalapeno in it.
Sold.
So I just want to give them a shout out. The woman that owns it, her boat is called Princess. That's why it's called that. And she's like the most well-known salmon fisherwoman in the area.
What?
And so they had the market for a really long time. And it's all women that run it, too, which is awesome. And they just opened up the restaurant last May. So if you're up there in Fort Bragg area, go to Princess Seafood. I highly recommend it. And I told them all about Maiden that's coming out.
I was just going to say Tracy Edwards.
Yes, circling back to Sundance, which we'll feature this month as well.
One of our favorites.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. We had a good time up in that area of California.
I need to go with you next time.
Yeah, just super chill. I sat in the hot tub last night with one of those masks on. I haven't done one of those ever. Everyone was scared of me.
Those masks, cucumber, the jam.
This one was ginseng. I did go to a Korean spa last week, which is really interesting, over here in the Fillmore called Pearl.
Are they like the ones in L.A., K-Town? Where
I've never
like,
been to a Korean
naked
spa.
Like a whale, and they just like smack it up, flip it, rub it down?
No. There
I
was
gotta take
a
you
little
to one
bit
in LA.
Of an, there was a fun thing that happened with my friend and neighbor, Lindsay, when we walked in. I'm telling the whole story really quickly because she doesn't care. She told me we booked this appointment a while ago, a few weeks ago. And so she's like, yeah, I don't know if they're going to let me in because I'm on my period. And they say on their thing, like, you have to be butt naked, like no swimsuits, nothing.
Yes, that's how the Koreans
do. So she's like, I'm just going to go in and try it. I don't care. I'm like, all right, cool.
Just tuck the string in. Uh-oh. Nobody will know.
So anyways, it comes to this thing where they're like, she's like, I just want to wear a swimsuit. Is that okay? I'm like, no, it's against the rules and you're going to make everyone else feel uncomfortable.
I was just going to say, I'm uncomfortable when someone's wearing a swimsuit.
I know, but she didn't want to be like, oh, by the way, I'm on my period. Will you let me in? So long story short, they made her wear these little plastic panties that were amazing. And I'll never look at her again the same way as I have in the last, I don't know, 10 years. And I love her for going for it. And yeah.
Wait, so is it like a shower cap, but
basically,
underwear?
But for your...
With holes cut out. I bet you it was the same shit.
Before the undercarriage, yeah. So thanks, Lindsay, for humoring me.
Wow.
We also
amazing.
Saw each other's boobs, so I'll never look at her in the same way. Every time I see her now, I'm like, oh, you're wearing a top this time? Or quite a feat.
That reminds me, when I did go to that spa in Calistoga with you and
Sina.
Oh, Cena,
yeah.
I was the only one that was naked.
That's not true. I was too. I had my top off.
Oh, all right.
All right, anyways. Luke Perry died. I don't even know what to say about it.
I'm in mourning. Dylan and Brenda forever. All my friends from high school were on this text thread, and we all were obviously just like devastated. And my one friend he died of a broken heart because he chose Kelly. Which, you know, Kelly over Brenda, you know, maybe. I don't know. I thought that was...
I liked Brian Austin Green, but I always had a soft spot for Luke.
It was always Dylan.
It was always Dylan
versus Brandon. Anybody who liked Brandon, you have a serious issue.
No, I wasn't
issue.
A Brandon
he
person.
He couldn't dance. Well, he was square.
I was a Brandon and Kelly person, so I hated that Kelly ended up having a kid with Dylan in the reboot. If you watch the second 90210 before this new reboot that's actually coming up with the original characters. In the one where they redid it with
the kids. New shit in like the 2000s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelly was on the was one of the original characters that helped launch it, and she had a kid, and they later revealed that that was Dylan's kid.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah.
And I was really, yeah. So I did have a broken heart over that.
His forehead continued to grow throughout the seasons, but I always loved him.
Still hot.
It was an 8 head, but I don't care. I have a big forehead, too.
Did you guys watch Riverdale at all?
No.
Now I want to.
I didn't.
You're going to get like a big uptick.
I had no clue that he was even on it.
Days. Yeah. For years, like how good it is. I didn't even know it's been on for 3 years. No, this one is the Archie comics. It's like a dark side of the Archie comics. And he plays Archie's dad. And Mark Consuelos.
Oh, shit, yes. Okay.
Mark Consuelos,
yeah.
Kelly Ripa's husband's in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the one he's in. Yeah. That's why I've been hearing about that.
No, I loved him. He's a part of our youth. And
yeah,
it's
not
real. I remember when he was on the cover of AARP, whatever you call it, because he turned 50 2 years ago.
Yeah.
My friend texted me and we're like, oh, shit, that means we're old. Yeah. Dylan's on the cover of AARP. But anyway, RIP, I loved you very much for a very long time. Isn't it weird how
our childhood's dying?
Isn't it weird how deeply it affects us? Like, there's something about a childhood love, or even just somebody you grew up with,
or someone that was just there always, always. And he's not. He was 52, for God's sakes. Only 10 years older than myself. Anyways. Live your life. Live in La Vida Loca.
He was our fucking bad boy, right? He was our...
Yes and no. With those puppy dog eyes.
Whew.
I wouldn't say no. How about that?
The Porsche.
Yeah. R.I.P. Luke Perry. We'll raise a glass tonight.
I'll never forget you.
Anyways, let's go into something happy.
Well, on the...
Very happy.
But on the subject of loss and...
Oh, yeah, true.
This is what the farewell is all about. It's called the farewell, goddammit. Holy shit, we didn't plan this. This is serendipitous.
Man.
This is timing. But this film is called The Farewell, but rest assured, it's just as funny as it is sad. Trust me. You're going to laugh as much as you're going to cry. One of our favorites of Sundance, my personal favorite of Sundance, Lulu Wang... And we saw her at the Academy Awards with best friends
with
of the
our
show,
best
Barry,
friend,
Jenkins,
Barry Jenkins,
and Miss Julie.
Oh, and Julie Cohen. Yeah. And they were also hanging out.
There's a photo of the three of them
they were also,
at the Academy.
Yeah. I was like, all of those people have been on her show.
Yeah, this is the bitch bump. This is the bitch talk bump,
but,
by the way. You're welcome.
But Lulu and Barry were also hanging out at my favorite award show, Independent Spirit Awards.
And
so.
They're sitting next to each other, and it's just like, what the fuck?
I don't know. But her film just got picked up from one of our favorite film companies,
A24.
Yeah. And Awkwafina is in the starring role, correct? So
yeah.
Ange got to see this film at Sundance with our honorary bitch, John Wildman. And she couldn't talk enough about it. So we're really happy to have Lulu on the show.
And there may be tears involved. You got to listen
in. Yeah, maybe we all cried. You don't know.
Maybe we did.
You
don't
know
until
you listen.
Don't judge us.
Don't judge us.
But enjoy the interview and just this beautifully talented woman.
You're listening to the Festival Daily Buzz with Bitch Talk Podcast. My name is John Wildman, here with my Bitch Talk co-hosts Aaron Lim and Angela Deborah. And on this segment, we're going to talk about The Farewell. We have the director, Lulu Wang, with us. Lulu, nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, Lulu, tell us about The Farewell.
The Farewell, it's a very personal story based on some stuff that happened in my own life. Mm. It's about a Chinese-American woman who goes back to China basically to say goodbye to her grandmother because her grandmother's been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and has given 3 months to live. But in China, they often tell the family instead of the patient. And so in this scenario, the family found out and decided it would be best not to tell grandma that she is dying. But, you know, they all have to go back to see her. And so instead they force Billy, who's the main character, they force her cousin from Japan to marry his girlfriend of 3 months and stage an elaborate wedding within 2 weeks' time as a ruse for the entire family to go back and say goodbye to Nai Nai Grandma without having her be suspicious.
Well, it's an incredibly funny movie. As well as being incredibly touching, and you know, and you definitely got tears out of me on this one. This has been like the theme of my Sundance.
People, tears.
Yeah,
this has been a teary kind of morning.
Films making me cry.
Yeah, in a good way.
And Angela and I were both commiserating over that.
Yeah, I was trying not to let him look while I was wiping my eyes, but I think thank you so much for this film. I feel like it's something that I've been waiting to watch. I feel like you captured the sarcasm, the rudeness out of love. You know, I mean, that's such a typically Asian mm-hmm. thing to just express your love in a very rude way. You know, I mean,
the ruder the better.
Yeah, exactly. But the sarcasm too, like very funny. We're very funny. You know, it's just all these little nuances that I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen that on film, and it encapsulates like how I grew up and what kind of family dynamic mm-hmm. you have, and I think it's so beautiful. I forgot what my question was, but anyway, I was just thank you for making this film. I thought it was incredible.
Thank you for saying that.
And this is based on your real life. Like, you all lied to your grandmother, mm-hmm. and that's another thing that Asians do. Like, we'll just have a huge elephant in the room
yep.
and just never talk about it. But mm-hmm. it works. It somehow works. Mm-hmm. And like through the making of this film, has your family watched it and thought maybe we should tell her? Maybe we?
Oh no, not at all. They're like, yeah, no, not at all. They just saw the film yesterday mm-hmm. and from me doing This American Life till the film, every time I'm like, you know, how do we want to handle this? This American Life is a really big podcast, mm-hmm. you know. They're like, yeah, she's not going to hear that. And, you know, and it's mostly in English. Okay. All right. Well, I'm making a movie. What do you think? Should we tell grandma? Like, and how much should we tell her? Well, you know, who knows? Like, this movie could never happen. Like, you know, let's just see.
Oh, typically Asian. Yeah.
Make the movie. Get into Sundance. So we got into Sundance. What do you think? Well, you know, she's 86. Like, let's take it one day at a time. Let's just see what happens. Maybe, you know, the film won't do well out of Sundance and only a few people will see it.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe one person or maybe, just them.
Yeah, exactly.
Not only that, but you filmed it in her neighborhood.
I know.
The plot thickens. It gets deeper.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to film in a neighboring town, but my grandma is like, you know, such a boss lady. She's just like, you know, you gotta film it in. If you're gonna come back to China and spend 3 months here, which, you know, I left when I was six. She's like, it doesn't make any sense for you not to shoot in, you know, my city so that I can actually see you every day. And I was like, that's a really good point. You know, if there's one bonus out of all of this mm-hmm. for her, not knowing what the movie's about, not knowing the sly, is that it doesn't matter because she gets to spend time with me and she got to visit me on set. And I mean, in what world would an immigrant child imagine? Sorry, I'm just like, that you would leave at 6 years old and one day my grandma at 86 years old would like come up in a wheelchair on set and see all these white people and people from all over the world. I mean, that's how like Asians are like, right. You've made it. There's white people like
following you.
Following me,
yes.
Like,
giving you like, coffee.
Yeah. She's like,
yeah, you're the boss lady.
They're all listening to you. You know? Like that white man is like, you know, bringing you whatever you want. I was like, you know.
It's like you made it.
Exactly. She's like, that's the sign of success. And I think just it was so meaningful for everyone in my family and especially for her, not knowing that the whole movie's about her.
Well, you know, and I opened this by talking about the, you know, how funny the movie is. And it's not joke punchline funny. It's funny because your characters are, you know, the humor comes very organically out of that. And that's not easy to achieve. You know, I'm always giving it up for someone that can pull that off. And can you talk about that, about, you know, working with your cast and hitting the right notes for that humor-wise?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Awkwafina and I were talking yesterday about this, and I said, I don't direct my actors to perform comedy. Mm-hmm. And so often my actors like are not aware that it's a comedy until they see the film and they're like, wait, it's really funny, you know. And Awkwafina said that, and Tai Ma and Diana Lin, who plays my mother, they all had that same response where they were like, when we were in the scene, it felt dramatic and emotional, and we were just in the moment and trying to keep it as real and grounded as possible, and that was important for me. So I never spoke to the actors about comedy. I could, you know, during the casting process, I think I just have like an intuition, people who have a sense of timing in general. And with Awkwafina, she said, actually, Lulu had to direct me back away from comedy. And because, you know, when you lean so hard into trying to be funny, it sometimes can feel less real. And the comedy element was more of a conversation that I had with my production designer, Yang Ok Lee, and my amazing cinematographer, Ana Franquesa Solano. And we talked a lot about framing, composition, what is in the frame, what is in the background, what are all of the things that... you know, give the scene depth so that while you're sort of like feeling these things, but you also can't help but being like, this is hilarious. And, you know, and my editor and I also talked about it because he's done a lot of comedy, studio comedies. And I said, but we didn't shoot this film that way. We didn't do a lot of coverage. So, the comedy isn't necessarily even in the cutting back and forth or jokes. Mm-hmm. But we would just find little ways to say, you know, for this scene, we need to give the audience permission to laugh, even if it's something so little, like, you know, the crazy boyfriend eating for like two split seconds, right? But just so having a little that, yeah. Like, I think, you know, that's something that I learned, is that even if I think it's funny, that audiences sometimes need that permission to be like, okay, I can cry and laugh at the same time. Because in American movies, so often people are like, is this a comedy? Is this a drama? How am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to, you know?
And which isn't human.
Exactly, really. Yeah. Exactly. You don't walk into a conversation thinking, how am I supposed to react to this, right?
Yeah. And that was another thing, like, we all have someone in our family that just kind of walks around eating and doesn't contribute much more. It's like you hit all the nails on the head. Just thank you. Go ahead, John. It's so true.
No, he does other things. He shuffles.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of gets in the way. Yeah. Eats, doesn't pay much attention.
Well, I was going to say, you know, my other compliment comedy-wise is also you did a very, really... what I call corner of the frame comedy. Oftentimes what we'll have, family comedies, which there's a funny, every member has its quirk, and we're going to get to every member's quirk, what have you, which is not what you did here. We just have a big family and we have very distinctive personalities, but we have corner of the frame. So it's like you've got stuff in the forefront that is either dramatic or what have you. But if your eye wanders just a moment, then you see someone in the back of the back of the scene that's doing this, and that is hilarious. And I want to have you address talking about managing a cast of that size, in particular in one scene, because you have these family dinners and you have things that are going on, the wedding, of course, and what have you, and how you choreograph that.
Yeah, there was a lot of blocking, a lot. You know, I think the decisions around the cinematography, the composition was, one, creative, but also just logistical, practical. We had very small spaces with a large family, which is realistic. But, you know, once you get a camera and a crew and everything in there, it actually makes the space even smaller. And, also you have 13 people sitting around a round table, and we had multiple scenes of that. And we were very concerned that that would get boring and just feel like dialogue. So really trying to figure out, you know, when to do coverage and not being traditional. Like, we do cover the movie. It's not like it's all one-ers or anything. But just figuring out when to do that and how to use that and being very specific about it. And there were scenes that we initially had planned to do more coverage, but we ran out of time and ended up doing more as a one-er and staging it. And it ended up working out for the better, so...
Yeah, and back to the seriousness of the film, Awkwafina did express hesitancy, like, I'm not sure that I can play the serious role and get to that crying moment, but there was definitely some growth through production.
Yeah, she was, you know, really nervous about it, and I just told her, like, don't worry about it. Let's just be in the moment in every scene. And she has such a personal relationship with her Chinese grandmother, who she was raised by, and even when we first met, she brought that to the table. Like, she said, I'm personally connected to the story, and so I said, for every scene, just think about your grandma. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a comedy scene or a drama scene. Like, like you as a character and you as a person, what you bring is your deep connection with your grandma and this like looming reminder that she's going to be gone soon. And so she really brought that, and that by the time we did the really emotional scenes, she would already crying. I was like, oh, we were not rolling yet.
I know, it just, like, yay.
And she'd like call her grandma from set, and we'd all talk to her and be like, Grandma Fina, what's up? And she like talked to my grandma and my great aunt, Little Nai Nai, who plays herself in the movie. So my real great aunt was on set, y'all, all the time. And so we had Grandma Fina talking to Little Nai Nai. We were like, Little Nai Nai, Grandma Fina, let's put them in a video. Like, this is awesome.
Oh my God,
and like,
please.
They could talk in Chinese because Fina doesn't speak Chinese that well, and so I think it was like amazing for her to see like her grandma talking to it. Yeah, it was just also amazing.
Well, fantastic. Well, again, the film is The Farewell. We've been talking to the director, Lulu Wang, and we just all, I think everybody here just loves this movie. Congratulations, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Lulu Wang from The Farewell, an A24 now picked up film.
An official Bitch Talk Bump recipient.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Along with Barry Jenkins and Julie Cohen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's going to get nominated for something. I just don't know what yet. And
maybe
it's really early in the season,
maybe
obviously.
Maybe she'll come out here because A24 likes to come
well,
out here.
Well, I'm crossing
for
my fingers that they tour Awkwafina and then we finally get her.
Can we get some Awkwafina in our lives?
Yeah. A24 is a good friend of Bitch Talk, so we should at least get 25 minutes with Awkwafina. They should probably do all the interviews at the Social Study. I'm just saying, it'd be like the perfect venue.
Yeah, we can arrange right that for us. We can organize that for you guys.
I send one text in. We're in. So Lulu is now a friend of the show. She started following Bitch Talk after our conversation. She was also really into Black Rain, which was one of our official sponsors for Sundance.
Correct.
I just keep thinking about when her phone went off at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, whose phone is that? And I'm like, I knew it wasn't me. I wasn't going to get in trouble.
And it was hers.
We just set the stage. We had started the interview, and then somebody's phone started ringing. And she's just like looking around at us like, whose phone is on? And we're like looking at her like, do you need to get that?
And at this point, we're in like our second hour of interviews for the day. So clearly our phones are on fucking mute, right? Like, it's not our phone.
Yeah, Lulu, it wasn't us.
And then
Jesus.
And then she like looked around and she goes, oh my God, it's me. And then it like totally just like broke the silence, tension, whatever.
She was such a treat. I mean, as soon as she walked really in the room, great. I kind of beraged her. I was like, I'm going to hug you. I'm sorry.
She came in hot a little bit, kind of like how we did on Peppa from Salt and Peppa. Yes. Call her back to an earlier episode.
But she was such a treat, and she really opened her heart to us. And it's funny because these people go to like tens of interviews per day, so you think they're just kind of going to spout out the same shit every time. But I really felt like her answers were heartfelt. She teared up with us. And just thank you. Thank you for your story. Thank you for your work.
Lulu, we love you. And we're hoping that you'll be back on Bitch Talk once
Awkwafina,
you do Awkwafina,
what's up, bitch?
Yeah, get Awkwafina on our
Hook
show.
Hook a bitch up
and,
with an interview.
Before we end, I just want to do a real quick shout out to John Wildman because he put a real sweet post about us
on Facebook. Which
Ange
will see next month.
I know, I told her before
maybe
we
in April.
When I first got here, I go, oh, you don't check, so you didn't see that sweet note he said about.
Hey, I
us.
Know what's in John's heart.
And
I don't need to read it. I know.
He's actually going to be at the
San Luis Obispo
Film Festival next week. The, unfortunately, the
we
timing
can't go.
We can't go to, even though it's kind of in our backyard, but. We wish him all the luck with that, and I'll probably do some social media posts on that. So, shout out to him and
Bitch Please. I want to start singing like Peppa. Mine is so high pitched.